Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Let's pray this evening. Father, I do thank you for this time. Lord, I stand before you. I just want to be a vessel tonight. I want to be a tool that can be used by you. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that you do the work tonight that I can't do, and I pray that you to guide my words, help me to say exactly what I say in the manner that I ought to say it. And Lord, I pray that you just help me to glorify you, help me be a challenge and help to your people. And thank you so much for them, their faithfulness and just their love. And Lord, it's family, and thank you for them. Pray that you just help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of an interesting verse. I think Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. It's kind of a depressing book, if you quite honestly ask me, because we all live, we all enjoy things, and we all die. That's basically the sum of the book. But there are some interesting verses. I just taught through Ecclesiastes not too long ago in the adult Sunday school, but we're going to look at a verse here, and God really laid this one verse on my heart after I was studying another section. But recently, we just joined the ranks of 63 million households in America who are dog owners, all right? And I've always grown up with a dog. I remember the very first dog that I remember growing up. It was a winter day, and me and my sister, we slept on bunk beds. And I remember my dad bringing this dog in. It was cold, and I don't know where this dog came from. It was a complete mutt, and all I've ever had is a complete mutt. And I think they're great dogs. I don't spend any money on my dogs, and that makes them great. So, but anyway, he brought in this mutt, and it was one of those little dogs. Now, today I hate little dogs. I don't like little dogs. But it was. I say little. It was about that tall, and real furry. And I think we named it Fudge, if I remember right. And you know, you had a lot of memories. I had some memories with that dog, and the dog disappeared, and you know, we always let our dogs run. So we got another dog, and the one I do remember was named Buster, and he was like a brown lab mixed with something else. And I remember growing up with that dog, and I did a lot with that dog. That was kind of my dog, and I was old enough to be able to go out and do things, and it was, I mean, always with me. That dog was always with me. And however, we got this new dog, and it's a pup, and you go through all the different things with puppies. You know, the kids, when you first go to get them, are super excited because they want a puppy, right? And then, you know, about 4 days into it, when the puppy is chewing up all their toys and jumping on them, and, you know, all they do is yell at the puppy. And so we're going through that transition, and we're trying. And I got this thing the other, yeah, I got this. Brother Jonathan was over at my house last night working on something, and we got this training collar, you know, one of the ones where you can hit a button and it shocks it. And I thought, man, that would be great, because sometimes I can't reach the dog to discipline it the way it needs to be disciplined. And I don't like leaving my chair. So I thought, well, I'll just get this. And whenever it misbehaves, the more I read the instructions, the more I thought, we need these for all of our kids. You know, I mean, just nail them. You know, it's got three different modes. You know, you hit one button and it beeps, you know, beep, beep, you know, and then it hits another one and it buzzes. And it's like, you know, this is your, you know, the one, It's number one, you know, number two, and then number three, you just lay them out, right? And but I was reading the instructions, and it was really disturbing because the very first thing I read, it said, the first thing, I'm going to paraphrase here because it was obviously a very Chinese written instruction manual. But it said something about, you know, you need to try it out on yourself first so you know what the animal feels like. And I'm like, call me stupid. I ain't doing that. So I crank it all the way up. And I'm like, you know, it's now or never, you know. I'm not what you would. You say, Brother Chad, that's cruel. That's, you know, well, maybe. But they listen really well after that. But I'm not what you would call a dog lover, okay? The dog is not, and some of you may really, you know, you may tone me out the rest of the whole message. I don't know. I don't know who's in here, honestly. I do, but I don't know what your relationship is with your pet, okay? I don't dive into, you know, we just don't go there. But some people, I mean, that is as much as their family as their own children. And they treat their dogs better than their, and I think it tends to be older folks and they get these animals and it, you know, that's their only companion in life and, you know, they buy presents for it and it's a birthday party for it and that's not me, all right? I mean, honestly, we've been married 11 years and I think we've had 5 different dogs, okay? And you say, Brother Chad, what happened to all of them? Well, life, all right? And the lack thereof of life. And you say, Brother Chad, wouldn't you go spend, you know, thousands of dollars if your dog got hit by a car to fix it? No. That's the reason I get a mutt, quite honestly. I don't have any money invested in it, and lead's cheap. So, but honestly, one of the very reasons I have a dog is the practicality of it. I'm a very practical person, all right? Now, I enjoyed, especially as a young boy, I enjoyed having a dog. I enjoyed having that companionship, and I see it especially in Emily. She's old enough, and she, the dog isn't as big as she is yet, so she enjoys playing with it, and I think there is, you know, there's a reason they call it man's best friend. There is a certain amount that dogs are loyal in that regard, but I also very much, I get it for the purpose of being a dog. We had chickens this year. We raised some chickens, and I think I lost like 12 chickens to raccoons this year. And, you know, when I have a dog, I don't lose chickens to raccoons. I remember the very first year we had sweet corn without a dog, and the raccoons absolutely wiped out our sweet corn between the raccoons and the deer. So I get a dog for that reason, right? I get a dog to help protect, and it is. And, you know, people are less likely to come up to my house and get out of their vehicles when there's a large dog standing there barking at them, okay? And you, all soul winners in here, you go up to a house, and you're a little hesitant getting out of the house. We have one house we go to on one of the teenage girls that comes sometimes. We go up to the house, and this big dog, it's half St. Bernard and half English Mastiff, all right? Big dog. Its name's Hooch, all right? And this dog, I mean, he'll come tearing out from under the trailer. Bark, 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 bark. As soon as you get out of the car, it turns its tail and runs right back under the trailer. All right. Now, if you don't get out of the car, it'll stand right there, and you're eye to eye, like with this dog, and it's barking at you. I mean, big ol' and this saliva just dripping out of its mouth, and you know, just bark, bark, bark. All right. Well, that's a pretty good deterrent. Unless you knew otherwise, it would be a good deterrent. So I get a dog for that. This verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 4. And I'm going somewhere with all this tonight. But Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For him, to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." And I got thinking about deterrence. And, you know, there's 63 million households in America that have a dog. I don't know how many households in America have a lion, but it's a greatly smaller number than that, okay? But you talk about a deterrent. I mean, you know, you're driving up to a house to go knock on the door for Operation Occupation, and a full-grown male lion gets up off the porch and meets you halfway down the driveway. Okay, I don't know about you, but I would be very hesitant about getting out of the vehicle until the owner came and put the lion away. Okay, and I got thinking, well, what about, what about a protector for my children? You know, the kids go out on a bike ride and they got this lion loping along beside them, you know, going down the road. I mean, that would be pretty cool. That would be something that you could tell stories about for sure. But the truth of the matter is none of us have a lion, right? No, we don't have that, okay? And I could have a lion mounted on my wall, which is a dead lion. Okay, I could have the lion mounted on my wall, and you know, as much as I would want that lion to deter robbers, it's not going to deter robbers. As much as I would want that lion to deter the raccoons getting into my sweet corn, it does nothing to scare the king of the beast does nothing to scare a raccoon. Why? Because it's dead. It has no life. There is nothing there for it to intimidate or send fear into the hearts of anything. It wouldn't protect my kids on our property or taking a bike ride down the road. That lion mounted on the wall wouldn't do that. But you know what would? Is my little mutt dog. That little dog that it just really annoys me sometimes. All right? He's got this, and it's part of it's my fault. He's got this really bad habit of getting on our porch swing, and I just put chains up on some hooks. So anytime you get on the porch swing, the porch swing's right outside me and my wife's bedroom. So, you know, 1 o'clock at night, you hear him jump up on the porch swing. And then the porch doesn't just do that a couple times. You know, swing goes for a while. So you hear this, it's like somebody scratching their fingers down a chalkboard repeatedly. And, you know, sometimes like, but you know what? Ever since we've had the dog, I haven't had a single raccoon try to get into stuff at my house. Now, my dogs tore my trash up, but I haven't had raccoons tear my trash up. Okay? It's a process. It's learning. Okay? Tonight, I want to challenge us just in a very simple, very practical in a thing. I want to challenge us in the manner of not taking for granted the things that we have right beside us. The things that we have right beside us. And if we could, maybe recognize the greatness of the things that's right beside us. You know, as cool as it would be to have a lion that was perfectly tamed that I could send with my kids, the dog does what that lion, now, not to the same degree, obviously, but the dog does what I want it to. As cool as it would be to have a lion, you know, tearing raccoons up and eating them in one bite, the dog keeps them away too. And sometimes we get so enamored with things out that we don't pay attention to what the blessings that God's put right beside us. We don't pay attention to that greatness, the greatness that we live in the presence of. And tonight, I just want to give you some thoughts, give you some stuff to mull over this week, because I've been mulling over this for a couple weeks. So we're going to jump into this. Many times we aren't thankful for the things that God has given us until those things are gone. We're not. And that's the truth of human nature. We're not thankful for things until we don't have those things anymore. As a result, I'm afraid we don't take advantage of the greatness that's around us. Young people and everybody, you are surrounded by greatness. I'm gonna define greatness in just a moment. But your parents. I want you to think about the greatness of your parents. And not just your ages, okay, in the front few rows and scattered throughout, but my parents are still here. A lot of you that are my age, your parents or if they're not sitting in this room, they're fairly close in location to this area. And many times, because we've grown up, obviously, with our parents, young people, we don't appreciate our parents. Some of you don't realize, some of us don't realize the heritage that we've been given. You get upset with your mom and dad, and you don't realize the sacrifice, listen to me, the sacrifice that they have had to make to put you where you are today. Some of your parents, and I would honestly consider my parents first-generation Christians. Now, I know my grandparents were saved, but my grandparents weren't sold-out Christians. My grandparents didn't go to church on a, you know, they weren't Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, have their kids at every activity, have them, they weren't plugged in, they weren't soul winning. They were saved, if you would, as by fire, okay? And they weren't bad people, and they went to church. I'm not saying that, but my mom and dad made the decision that our kids are going to be in church. Rain, shine, it doesn't matter. Our kids are going to be in the Christian school or homeschool. My mom homeschooled us for a while. Our kids are going to have the advantages that we didn't have. And young people, if you're not careful, sometimes you just take those things for granted that, oh, all kids have that. No, a very tiny percentage of kids have that. And you have been blessed enough to have that heritage. We have people in our church that have a Bible-like greatness. Young people, your dad goes to work every day to put food on your table, to put clothes on your back, to make sure that you have a place to sleep, okay? You have that. And if you're not careful, you take for granted the greatness that's all around you while you're looking outside at everything else. Just pause, and I want you to take a minute and think about that, but that's right beside you. The people. You know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is full of people who exhibit greatness. They've had their days of showing up to work days. They've been around for 70 plus years. They've seen a lot of things. They've seen things that I've only read about in a history book. They saw it. They saw the transformation in the 50s and 60s, young people. They saw it. I only read about it. Some of them saw when this building right here that you're sitting in was built. They gave money in the offering plate when they were buying these pews. They hung the drywall on the ceilings. They were there when this was built. They were there when that part back there was. Some of you think this is just one big building. Yeah, all you've ever, I was talking to the teens and the other day, and some of you may not remember, but that whole back section didn't used to be there. And the stairs went down a different direction. Remember how the stairs went down and then they curved back in, and then the bathrooms were sitting back there. And they're like, what? But you know what? Somebody built that. And a lot of those somebodies are sitting in this room. Some of them aren't. When was the last time you sat down and appreciated what you have been given? The freedoms that we have today are a greatness that's right beside us. Men and maybe even some ladies in this room have been willing to give their lives for that freedom. However, we're watching many of these freedoms slip away because we don't appreciate what we have. People don't appreciate it. That's why we're letting these things just slip away, because they don't understand the cost that was given for it. Men in this room sat in a jungle in Vietnam. Young people, listen to me. Men in this room sat in a jungle or on a battleship. In this room, so you can have the freedoms to sit where you're at today. We don't, by and large, yeah, we have a special Sunday every once in a while, but by and large, we don't recognize that, do we? We take for granted, we think about the lion instead of the living dog that's with us, all right? The Bible that you hold in your hands. Do you realize that there are millions of people today that don't have a single copy, a single complete copy of the Word of God? And we got them sitting. I got probably three in my truck. Come on. Come on. And you know, I'm not you know, I think it's fine to have plenty of Bibles. But you don't appreciate the one that you have in your lap. And young people, listen to me. Listen to me. I want all the young people, look at me. Your Bible, and don't get me wrong, I left my Bible. We didn't have a playground then, but I left my Bible sitting outside on the old wooden handrail or the landscaping that we used to have out front that we hid behind the bushes. I'm sure my Bible got left out there too. But you ought to appreciate the Bible that you have. Not only just because it's the Word of God, but your mom and dad paid for that Bible. Or somebody did. The clothes that you have, I mean, we can go all kinds of places. The Bible that you hold in your hands, do you realize that there are millions of people, and I said that, they would give everything that they have to be able to hold what we just take for granted. The location that you live, and this may be my personal opinion, but hey folks, I thank God, especially after everything that's been going on, I thank God I live where I live. I thank God I live where I live. Everyone talks about, you know, these little podunk towns, how they want to go see the big city and the world. You can have all of it. You can have every bit of it. You know what? This is my town. In the last few years, I've really gotten to the place that, hey, you know what? This is my town. Jasonville, Indiana. Where's Jasonville, Indiana? I don't know. Nobody knows. And you know what? That's the blissfulness of it. I don't want anybody to know, because then they'll come, and I don't want them to come. But you know what? I love it when Jasonville, I wish they'd do it more often. You know, I've built a lot of relationships in this town. And you know, I know I'm mostly in here. You know, Linton may be your town or whatever. But Jasonville's my town. I drive through Jasonville. When they put them flags up, all the light posts up through town, I think, and you go past the bank and the police station and now the utility office and the VFW, and you've got all these big flags flying. This is my town. And you know what? Don't mess with my town. You can go riot in some other body's town, but don't come to mine. Okay? I'm serious. For all those that may be listening, don't come to my town. All right? Listen, folks, this is mine. What are you saying, Bro Chad? I appreciate where I'm at. I'm trying to appreciate the living dog instead of wishing I had a dead lion. All right? I know we shouldn't be proud, but there's a feeling that wells up in my heart when I see my flag flying. Then big flags. Somebody's telling me Worthington's got a huge flag now. All right? I love going by. Listen, that's my, and listen, I know it's not my, I didn't make it. I haven't even fought for it. But don't you tread on it. Don't you walk on my flag. Listen, that's mine, okay? And where do we lose that? Because you don't appreciate it. You don't appreciate the men that have fought for it, the men that have died for it. There's a feeling that wells up in my heart when I go through my town. There's a feeling I have when I go someplace to work and we take men from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, these are my church family. We went on that trip to Tennessee. And honestly, I think part of the fun of doing anything like that is the trip. Quite honestly, it is the trip. You know, like I said, you've got five trucks all pulling trailers loaded to the hilt with fun. I mean, just absolute redneck fun. And you know, you go in the gas station and you've got 18 guys walk into a gas station. You know, you take up every gas pump that they have between your trucks and a trailer. You're taking up all the gas pumps. You walk in and they're just kind of like overwhelmed. And you're like, there's just this feeling that I'm with them. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like we're together. Yeah, you see all these? Yeah, that's us. And there's more where those came from. All right? Listen, we went down to Louisiana and helped them down in Louisiana. And we went I took a group up to Chicago, and we've helped them in Chicago. And you go to some places, and Brother Ali's over there, and Brother Ali's he's a carpenter. He's not here tonight. He's a carpenter. He's very good at carpentry. And Brother Lewis, of course, they don't have anybody. If I gave them a roller, 9-inch roller, and said paint the wall, they would have 20 questions. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not down. That's the truth of the matter. And I'm taking guys, and we're going, and we show up at the truck and trailer with tools, and we go in, and we just start working. And they're just standing there, and he's like, are all of your guys like this? I said, yeah, pretty much. And you know what? There's a sense of, hey, there are. I've learned something from every man in this room. And young men, look at me. You can learn something from every man in this room too, if you'll appreciate the fact that they have a greatness that many times we don't understand is right beside us. You can go through life and you can throw all of it away looking for the next big thing when right beside you is something that is undoubtedly one of the biggest things in your life. Hey guys, we've been blessed by great wives. I have. I've been blessed by a great wife. And you know what? Many times I take her for granted. You know? I don't tell her thank you for doing the laundry. I just take for granted it's done. I don't tell her thank you for I tell her thank you for the meal, but I don't tell her thank you for all the time and prep that it took to, you know, get that meal, or the way she takes care of my kids. You know, guys, and I guess it could be true, I don't think any of us guys are all that great, but guys, we've been blessed with great wives. And so many times, what causes a rift? Because we don't appreciate what's living beside us. The greatness that we have every day of our lives is many times pushed to the side. I wrote this down. Not appreciating leads to dissatisfaction. And dissatisfaction leads to problems. Appreciate your wife. I need to appreciate my wife better. You know, a simple thank you goes a long way. Sometimes, and I think sometimes it's easy, it's easier for me to go work someplace else than it is to work at home. It's easier perhaps for a lady in here, you'd say, well, I would rather go clean someplace else for somebody else than clean my own house. Why? Let me just ask you. Because people appreciate sometimes more away than they do at home. Does that make sense? Young people, I want you to think about this, because you can show appreciation to your parents. You can show appreciation to your mom and dad who have sacrificed so much. Say, Brother Chad, what is greatness? Listen, greatness is not a lot of money. Because if that was the case, none of us are great. We're not millionaires, billionaires, 100,000-aires. we're none of that. Greatness is not money. Greatness is not fame. Nobody knows your name in all reality. Nobody knows your name, and nobody knows my name. I know your name. You know my name. But let's drive 5 counties away and ask anybody if they've ever heard of you. Nobody's ever heard of you. Nobody cares about you. I do. I care about you. But in all reality, none of us are famous, okay? Greatness is not a lot of money. Greatness is not fame or notoriety. I'm going to show you what greatness is tonight. Matthew chapter 18. I want to help you to recognize greatness. What is greatness? Matthew chapter number 18. 3 quick things and we'll keep going. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Say, Brother Chad, what is greatness? Greatness, I believe, is humility. It's exemplified in humility. Young men, listen to me, or all of us, I guess, but I can go to men in this room and they're not going to tell me about all the great things that they've done. But they've done great things. They've seen great things. Young ladies, listen to me. You can't go to the ladies in this, a lot of the older ladies in this room, and they're just going to start, sit down and just tell you all the wonderful things they've seen and the great things they've seen. But the truth of the matter is, they have seen great things and they have done great things. But you know what greatness is? Greatness is clothed in humility. The Bible talks about wisdom in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know what it takes to get to the greatness? Some work, okay? I got thinking about Bob Townsley, all right? You talk about a man that is going to, I'll show you these things. He exemplified greatness. He did. He exemplified it. He built, his hands were a part of pretty much every part of this building or this plant, this building, that building, the gravel in the driveway. I mean, you talk about everything. He never talked about it. You couldn't get him to talk about it. That was greatness. And so many times we spend our lives looking, guys, at the next best thing. At what can we do? What can we go accomplish? And greatness is sitting right here beside us. And we never ask him, hey, what about this time in your life? You know, the truth of the matter is he's gone now. You can't ask him anymore. But listen, there's still people in this room that manifest greatness. Greatness is manifested in humility. Matthew chapter 23. Look at verse number 11. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. Bible says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know how greatness is manifested? In servitude, as being a servant. All right? Servants are all over this room. Okay? And if we're not careful, we take for granted, young people, you take for granted what your mom and dad do every week to serve you, to take care of you, to make sure that you have everything you need. All right? Thirdly, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a pretty easy one. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. How is greatness manifested, Brother Chad? Greatness is manifested in humility. Greatness is manifested in servitude. Thirdly, greatness is manifested in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse of the chapter. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Greatness is manifested in love. All right? Let me say this. Don't let greatness slip past you. We're sitting here tonight, all of us together, and we've got greatness sitting all around us. We've got that living, I don't want to call you a dog. It's kind of derogatory. But we've got that living thing beside us. But where none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Sadly, in our lives, we many times think about the lion on the wall and don't spend time with the dog by our side. Folks, let me just say this. Folks, we've been given a great pastor, not because he thinks he's great, just the opposite. I know we hear it all the time. We don't know. You'll hear it all the time. A man from outside this church will get up here and say, I hope you guys realize what you have here. You guys don't understand what you... I mean, honestly, time after time after time, somebody will get up here and say that. And the truth of the matter is, they're right. Listen, folks, we got to appreciate what we have here, okay? Because if we don't, many times we let those things slip away. I'm going to give you a thought here tonight that kind of provoked me to thinking this week. You know, for a little church in the middle of the cornfields of Indiana, we've been blessed by so many men that have been so great. in a biblical way. Not notoriety. Right. Pastor Robert Ross, nobody knew his name hardly, but he was a great man. He was a great man. Okay? There's more people that know Pastor Jerry Ross, but he's not known all over the nation. Not everybody, you know. It's not like if somebody says, you know, President Trump and Jerry Ross. You know, it's not like, does that make sense? I mean, he's well known if you in certain circles, but in other circles of independent fundamental Baptists, they've never even heard him preach. Okay? But listen, folks, we've been blessed by having him. Okay? We let powerful influences of those around us slip by because we do not appreciate them. I want you to take you to Luke chapter number 4. I'll show you this passage. We'll be done quickly here. This is actually really kind of what got me. I was in my devotions the other day reading this. Luke chapter number 4, look at verse number 22. Bible says Jesus is in Nazareth, where he grew up as a boy. Okay, he's teaching in a synagogue right here. We're going to pick it up in verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? These people all knew Jesus. They grew up with Jesus. Verse number 23, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. I want you to listen to this, because this is the section that caught my attention. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Brother, what caught your attention? The fact that famine in Israel touched thousands of widows. But the man of God from Israel had to go to a different country in order to be able to be a blessing to one widow. Naaman the Syrian. Think of all the lepers that were in Israel during that time. And which one? The Bible says there were none healed except for one, and he wasn't even from that city. Go to Mark chapter number 6. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Say, Brother Chad, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes we take for granted what we have standing in our pulpit every Sunday. It's what's beside us. It's here all the time, and it's doing everything, but we take it for granted. Listen, folks, I've been to a lot of, and these teenagers can attest to it, we've been to a lot of teen rallies. We've been to a lot of teen conferences. We've been to some that pastors preached at. We've seen out of 1,000 young people, 600 young people walk an aisle. I mean, at some point they can't even leave their seats. And you see that, and it's like, am I taking for granted? Listen, is my heart hardened because of it's the same face that I see every week? It's the same thing I see all the time. Could revival come to all these other places and not come here? Because we're not appreciating what God has given us right here. Young people, is it something that you can go out and do whatever you want? Because you're taking for granted the parents that God has given you. Listen, folks, God's given us, and there's men in this room that we can learn greatness from. There's women in this room that we can learn greatness from. But so many times we're so used to it, and we just let it go. We think about that line on the wall instead of that faithful, there when you need him, there when you don't, but he's still there. Well, what about? I have person after person. Yesterday, I was fixing a well for a friend of mine. He always calls me when nothing else goes right. I'm his last resort. And he called me Friday night and he needed help. And he's just one of those friends that I go help. I just do it. He doesn't have to question whether I will. I got done, took me 30 minutes. I got done, I went to the gas station and I was pumping gas. And I saw a guy talking on a cell phone up by Kate, the store. Didn't think much about it, and I just turned pumping gas, and I heard a voice behind me. I mean, this was probably 3 minutes later. My truck takes a lot of fuel. And 3 minutes later, this guy come up, and he said, "Hey, do I know you?" "Do you?" "I don't know." He's like, "Are you Jack's boy?" That's me. I'm not ashamed of that at all. Amen. And we talked, and he wanted work done, and I told him I didn't have time. And we were talking about some stuff, and he had knew you from before. And every time somebody talks about my dad, it always comes up, and this guy, these were his words. He's like, "He's golden. He's golden." And I got thinking, so many times, young person, as you grow up, you don't realize how golden you have it. You don't realize until you wish you could get on the phone and call him how good you had it. And I'm not just saying this, but every time, and there's a lot of people in our neck of the woods that, in fact, I usually introduce myself as, "Hey, I'm Chad, I'm Jack's boy." That's the way I introduce myself. It kind of smooths the way for everything else to come. But that's good. But so many times I take my dad for granted. I take my mom for granted. My mom and dad are the only reason I'm standing, honestly, are the reason I'm standing here tonight. My dad's one of those ones, and I'm just doing honor to whom honor's due. There's other men in here that if your son was to get up, he could say the same thing. He spent time in a jungle, fighting for liberty. And so many times, young people, if you're not careful, you live with your mom and dad and you don't realize what they've done for you. You don't realize the things that they could teach you. I love sitting down with men in our church and just talking to them. Listening to them. Those times are going to be past. Ladies, you can't sit down with Sister Donna anymore. That time's past. Young people, I want to challenge you, and even adults, young adults my age. I know we're always busy. I know we're always trying to do and go. But it doesn't hurt to go help somebody for an afternoon, and I don't want paid. I just want to come help you for a while and learn. Wouldn't it be good if we started appreciating that thing that's right beside us? Wouldn't it be good if we started appreciating our pastor that there is revival and God's working on people's hearts probably tonight? And sometimes we just sit there and we just kind of, and I'm guilty. I just share what's on my heart, but I don't want to be the one that sits back there and just looks at pastor and be like, oh, I've heard you for the last 6 weeks. I don't want to take Mrs. Roth. You know, she puts more hours in here. You guys don't know how many hours, and I'm not trying to. Listen, folks, let's appreciate what we have that's living, because that dead lion does us no good. And if we don't appreciate what we have living, we're soon to lose everything it could give to us. Learn to appreciate what you have. Don't overlook the blessings that are right beside us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just do your work. It's just something to mull over, I guess. And maybe this week we can look at different people and different things and appreciate them, Lord. I text preacher this week, Lord, I just wanted to tell him I appreciated him. Thankful for all he's done. God, I'd hate to be the generation that our pastor goes to every other church and they see revival, but we have him here every Sunday and we can't see it. God, help us to be open and receptive to your word. God, help us to take our parents not for granted and to love them. Help us to take the elders of our church not for granted and to spend time with them and learn from them. Thank you so much for their sacrifices, the deacons, the elder deacons in our church that have just sacrificed and served and have been humble and have loved. Thank you for them, Lord. And I pray that we would all just have a better understanding and a better perception of true greatness that's all around us. And Father, I pray that you help me with this in my life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.